Oh, thank you guys for being here. I've got a 20-minute talk I'm going to try to give you in 15. So, a little bit of background. We received a fund for a $15 million grant about a couple years ago to form a grain and forage center of excellence here at Princeton. This was really a grass, either way. grassroots movement that largely involved producers and local commodity boards. They got behind this. They started getting the support. GOAP, the Government's Office of Ag Policy, came up with the $15 million with a few strings attached. They said, "Hey, we're going to give you $15 million, but you need to come up with $15 million in match." So that could be someone writing a check for $100,000 and saying, "Here, we want to help you out." Or certain type of grants were allowed to be used for that match. So if I went to the Kentucky Small Grain Growers, got a $30,000 grant to do a field school, that went towards it. So the timing was right. We went on and decided to go with it. We had a board member that from the Kentucky Small Grain Growers that was instrumental in getting the Grain and Forage Center of Excellence moving forward. He said, "Edwin, we have a long history in Kentucky for wheat production. We've had a successful wheat science working group. We need a wheat field school." He said, "That's the timing's right. It's the thing to do." So the support was strong. We decided to move forward. Well, we wanted to move forward with baby steps. We've never done a field school. I hadn't before. So we asked for $5,500 to do exploratory research. Purdue University had the Diagnostic Training Center, and we went up there and visited with Corey Gerber, spent some time with him. They've been doing this for about 30 years. They don't focus on wheat, but they've been doing field school trainings. So I wanted to see how they operated, what clientele are they focusing, what resources are required, how much land, labor, time, what's the class size? Do we need to try to recruit 300 people to come to this, or is 30 enough? And they charged a fee. Do we need to charge a fee? If we do, how much? Well, after we left that, we had a couple follow-up meetings, and we decided, I think we can do this. Let's do a trial run. We did a trial run that following year or that following spring, and it actually turned out pretty good. It wasn't too bad. And I thought, well, let's try this. So we made the decision to move forward with a wheat field school there at Princeton. One of the big things, it's in bold for a reason. It's not a field day. We're trying to make sure that people didn't expect that this is going to be a field day. Field day, you go out there, listen to someone talk for 10 minutes, move along, listen to someone else. We didn't want that. We wanted involvement. We wanted intense training where you get out there, you spend a day learning a topic. We decided to go after to try to train the trainers. We were going after CE or Certified Crop Advisors, CCAs. What do CCAs need? They need CEUs for their continuing education. So we wanted to make sure we made it worth their while to come to this. So we're targeting 6 hours of CEUs and also pesticide applicator training. That varied depending on who we had on the program, but somewhere around 2 to 3 hours. We decided we're going to charge $60. That's $10 a CEU. That's well worth the money. And we wanted to limit the class size to 30, at least till we got a few of these under our belt, see how it goes. So we required online registration. We didn't want 45 people to show up, and we only had food and materials for 25. So we were trying to do that up front. We also decided we wanted Ag Communications to come down and videotape it. So if you want to see it later, hey, you can go to UK YouTube, and there it is. So we did that. And then we also provided tools needed for the classes. If it was a certain topic, we provided the extension literature we had on that topic. Clipboards, we wanted them to be able to take notes, take tests. We were making them give us recommendations. And then certain instances, they needed a hand lens or a seed depth indicator. So we gave those out, and they could take them home with them. So And it begins, I'm extension, I know this is a terrible slide, don't try to read it. That's not the point of this. The point is, we were focusing towards three topics. These critical or key timings that you have to make management decisions in wheat. That's green up, flowering, and pre-plant. So if you can see, we've got a bunch of bullet points here. There's actually about eight or nine topics that we tried to cover with six or seven speakers in 6 hours. We also needed breaks and lunch. It's hard to do that. Well, after that first one, we realized we were trying to get too much out of this one day of training. But we already had this one in line. We already advertised it, already had tickets sold, so we had to go with it. So we like, we're going to try it, but it's going to be like the first one, and it was. We tried to pack too much into it. On this third one, pre-plant, we decided what's the most important topics. Well, drill calibration, seed bed preparation, seed treatments. You know, I'm making my seed decision at this point. What do I need? And then weed management. So we pared down what we were trying to cover. We pared down the amount of speakers. That was a good thing. Here's a picture of the school. We have 25 rows of wheat planted out there. In each row, there's 12 different ranges. So we had almost 300 different treatments we could put in place. Right out here, we had nitrogen. So whoever was doing that talk, which happened to be me, we came up with a plot plan, and then we implemented that protocol so we can do the training. Here's John Grove and myself. We were out here the day before. We're working on nitrogen management. Well, we want to make sure our tools work, so we're out there with the chlorophyll meters, the green seekers. We actually went out there and collected the data, so when the people did it the next day, now we've got our set of data we can compare it to and talk about it. Well, you got this, I got that. Why? What did we do different? It's a different way of learning. I mean, we wanted to make sure we had all our P's and our ducks in a row, so we had to go out there and do the ground truthing. This is the next day. We had different nitrogen rates out here. We turned them loose with chlorophyll meters, green seekers, clipboards, told them to break up into groups, go out here, measure what you see, give me a nitrogen recommendation, then we'll come back and we'll talk about it. So we're trying to really do hands-on, help them understand what it takes to do what they need to do. This is something we did inside. The NRCS soil scientist pulled this, but it's another hands-on activity. He pulled different cores from different soil types around the state and then gave them a 6 or 8 question quiz and said, which of these soils is good for wheat production? Why? So you can see that closest one to you, it's red all the way down, well-drained soil. One on the far side, it's gray within 12 inches of the soil surface. Well, it's a poorly drained soil. That's generally not conducive to good wheat production. So things like that, it's not just sitting and listening. It's sitting, listening, doing, and then conversing. Here's something our weed scientist came up. We're in the process of developing a weed garden. We haven't got that completed yet. But there's a lot of work that's involved in that. But there's a lot of work just to come up with these. They went out and they found the weeds that they were looking for, dug them up, brought them into the greenhouse, and then set them out. Identify these. Is this a problem? What do you do to control this? Over here on the right side of the screen, they had wheat that was treated with different herbicides at different rates. So what's going on with this? Kind of how do you become a private investigator for crop production? That's what we're trying to kind of, a lot of the stuff that we're taught in school is black and white. A lot of the stuff we deal with on a day-to-day basis is shades of gray. So we're trying to help them understand that shades of gray. This is a little process or a little exercise I was doing here. If you can see, most of that is no-till. We have two plots here that were conventionally tilled. Well, can you, I don't know if this works, if you look right here, we don't have real good growth here compared to the middle of the plot. Well, we happen to have some penetrometers around to help them decide what was going on, but we did a little session. This is a penetrometer. This is what it's used for. And then this lady, she wanted to do it. She said, well, let me try. So she did it. And right there where it's real short, she's like, oh, man, 300 PSI at 6 inches. And then move over a little bit, and she could push it down to 24 inches, no restrictive. Was it compacted? Yeah, it's compacted because we ran over it with a grain truck 20 times before we planted to show that. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, but if you just look at it, it's not automatically, well, that's compaction. I suspect it's compaction. Let me confirm that with these tools that are available to you. There's Chad Lee. He's in here talking about yield components, doing head counts and spikelet counts. You can see right here, this is our AgCom guy. He's filming that. Chad's mic'd up. They'll send that back to Lexington, edit it, and then post it to our YouTube, UK YouTube channel. So, what if it rains? Do we have backup plans? We plan these 2 or 3 months out. Well, you can't just call out the day before and say, well, it rained, I'm sorry, we're canceling it. So, you just have to go with it, but be prepared. So, every time we came up with a contingency plan, we duplicated what we could in the greenhouse. A lot of the herbicide injuries that were done in the field were also done in a spray chamber and grown in the greenhouse. So if it did rain us out, we could take the pots out, go into a building somewhere and talk about it. Growth stage and plants, that worked out real nicely because we could dig them up, bring them in, grow them at a warmer temperature, and have a wide range of growth stage, or a wide range of plants at different growth stages. I have nutrient deficiencies with a question mark. I was trying to do that. I wasn't as successful as I wanted to be. Apparently, I had a little more fertilizer in some of my media than I thought because I could show nitrogen real well. All the other ones, apparently there's enough P and K and peat moss to grow wheat to that big without deficiency. So we're still working on that. But we dug up a lot of plants and a lot of weeds and brought them into the greenhouse just in case. So it's not you do it and everything's going to be good. 3 minutes, okay. Have to have indoor arrangements. So this is Travis Leglider, our new weed scientist from Purdue. He is familiar with the DTC. He's talking about herbicide injury. This was a real neat thing. Well, she was looking at petri dishes inoculated with different diseases, and then different seed treatments. Well, this one did this to this disease, this one did this to that. Very hands-on, interactive. Had a 30-foot Great Plains drill and a 35-foot International drill, had reps from Great Plains, reps from John Deere, reps from International, and we were going to run that sucker, and it rained an inch and a half the day before we were going to do it, and it was raining that day. So we wanted to run them in the field. We couldn't do that. So what do? We set up our tents, back the drills up together, and let them talk about it here. That wasn't ideally what we had planned, but that's what we ended up doing. So funding, we ended up getting about $70,000 from the small grain growers. The big thing, we didn't have the labor. We all already had full-time jobs. So the labor consisted of overworked technician, a retired weed scientist, and a part-time extension associate. We needed help, so we were able to get a big grant from NIFA through the IPM to actually hire an extension associate, which we hope to do very, very soon. Lessons to be learned. It can be done, but there's a lot of things to consider. One of the big things, we're competing with other farmers or other farming operations. Wheat is a hard crop to deal with. You know, when you're planting wheat, you know, they're also trying to shell corn. So there's a lot of things going on. It's a long day for everyone, but feed them well. Make sure to take enough breaks. Can't emphasize that one enough. Have enough porta potties. If you only have 10 minutes to break and you got 30 people trying to get through there, one's not going to cut it. Go on and spend another $125 and have two of them out there. Don't try to do too much. We learned that from the first two. Focus on a few topics and spend the amount of time and give them a training worth their money. So were we successful? The first year, we said 30, we were at 24, 15, 17. I don't know. I wasn't happy with those numbers. Any extension administrator is going to be happy with that. We're in Western Kentucky. We have people from Tennessee, Indiana, Illinois, Kansas, and New Mexico. So I made my bosses happy, even though I didn't have the numbers that we were wanting. We plan on ramping it up to corn and soybean eventually. So we're getting there, but we're still learning. So that's what I've got. I think I might have 1 minute.
Yes,
I have 30
maybe
seconds.
We have time for a question here. Could someone?
Yes, sir. You know, I advertised for that. How did I spread the word for that? I advertise more for this thing than I have any other stuff combined. We use newspaper, mailing list, word of mouth. So I don't know what the best way. I've actually went through the CCA organization. So I think the biggest thing is word of mouth, because a lot of the people we had returned or so-and-so told me. So I think it's just doing it a few years to get it out there and let them know, hey, this is worth your money, and try to do it that way. But we've advertised any way you can think of except for smoke signals.
Well, join me in thanking Edwin for the presentation.
Thank you.